Yes, it is. Hello, Texans. Mark Vandermeer, John Harris with you on a wonderful evening. Day four of free agency news to talk about with the Houston Texans, of course. And Johnny and I spent some quality time with Joe Mixon today.
Oh, yeah.
We spent some quality time with Danielle Hunter today.
That's good.
On and off the air. Mm-hmm. And those interviews, I think we'll put them up tomorrow.
Let's put those up tomorrow.
Sounds because good. People have heard some of the audio. Maybe we'll play some of the audio with Chris here. But it's Thursday. That means it's time for the General, John McClain. General, how are you feeling about the first few days of free agency? Give us your overall take, where you think it's going. Good evening.
Good evening, guys. And while you were spending quality time with Joe Mixon, I was spending quality time checking out the new uniforms that will be unveiled to the fans in April. And I've just decided we signed the non-disclosure, mm-hmm. checked in our cell phones, had to turn them off, and we're supposed to be sworn to secrecy, but I've decided right here on Texans Radio.
Oh, great.
I'm all the fans. I want to tell the fans something about the new uniforms. Mm-hmm. They're spectacular.
Okay, you broke the story.
I can't say anything more.
That's it.
Can't say anything about the colors, the design, but I really like them. I've seen a lot of uniforms since I came to Houston in 1976, and then I started covering the Oilers shortly after that. So I've been through a lot of uniform designs. And I've always liked, I was, you know, there for the big reveal, as you were with Bob McNair. I was actually riding with him in his car, being chauffeured along with Tony Wiley to downtown to the stage where they unveil the uniforms and the nickname and everything. But I know that Texans, a lot of work has gone into this. Doug Boysick and his crew, they've done a tremendous job. I know Greg Grissom. I think about all the tough times Greg had trying to sell the team while it was struggling, and now it's like happy days are here again. And I know the fans, they're going to like all four uniforms. And one thing I've said publicly before, and I've written it, tweeted it, everybody loves those red helmets. I just wish they could wear them with every uniform, but these other designs are pretty amazing.
All right. You know, and Doug Vosick and Greg, when they looked into this, the league told them originally, this takes one more year. So we'd be doing right. this next year. Mm-hmm. But they got the process expedited. And even though it takes a long time for you and me looking at it, they've actually expedited this thing with the league so we could enjoy new uniforms here in 2020.
So
it started a year. Then when did we go to the game place over in Bel Air to see the drawings of it. Was that last off season?
That was last off season. They started way before that, but whenever they did start, even then it was, you got to wait till 2025, but they either taught them into it. Somehow they got it done faster than most teams would. It takes a long time. You would think, new uniforms, come on, make them up. Come on, go ahead, sew them together.
Right.
Here's the design. It takes a long time. It's a long process. And so they've gotten this thing done, and it's going to be wonderful to see them.
So I'll ask both
of you.
At
this time last year when we went to Bel Air and we saw the markups, had no idea the team was going to be any good. And I know I picked them to win six games, so the new uniform unveiling could not come at a better time, and I can't wait to see the fan reaction when they see them for the first time at the draft.
So I don't know if I made a mistake or not.
Uh-oh, what'd you do?
Well, you know how I feel about certain things. Like, I shouldn't say this publicly, but I don't give a damn about uniforms.
Really?
I don't.
You're a football guy.
So I walked over, I was looking at him, and Doug walked up, and Doug said, "So what do you think?" I said, I like them. I said, but I'll be honest with you. There are two things that I really don't give a rat's you know what about.
Uniforms and kickers?
Well, okay, three. You hit two of them.
Except
the third
for
one
Kaimi.
Is, what's the question we get asked every single Sunday? Every single Sunday. It's a nice day out. What do we get asked?
Roof open.
Yes. Those three things, couldn't care less. Not like Kaimi, so it's cool.
Yeah, but you could care if the roof's open. I know you're a coach.
I hate hearing that question about, is the roof open?
I know, but it's understandable. There is one, so I get it why people ask.
I appreciate all the – I told Doug this. I appreciate all the work that's been done in these uniforms because I know how hard it is. I just couldn't care less. What goes in the uniform, I care about that.
Yeah,
care about that.
Isn't it amazing at last season – how much better those uniforms looked than the year before.
No doubt. John, a lot of things to talk about. Obviously, Mark and I had a chance to catch up with Danielle Hunter and Joe Mixon, and there's a little bit of news on Mixon. Texans running back Joe Mixon signed a 3-year, $27 million contract extension that includes $13 million guaranteed from Houston. Your thoughts about not only trading for Mixon, but then also giving him and the extension.
And they rip up the year that was to
be, right?
So it's three from now, right?
Okay. Yes. Your thoughts, John?
I kind of like guys playing 1 year on a make-it contract like Jeff Okuda. Jeff Okuda's a low-risk, high-reward. They could end up being a hell of a deal, considering at one point he was the best corner defensive player, second-highest defensive player drafted third overall in 2020. So they're giving him a chance to do like Sheldon Rankins did, play 1 year, then get a $3 or $4 million raise. But Mixon, he should be really happy because he was supposed to make $6 million, and to get that kind of deal, they're showing a lot of faith in him. But last year, he had the fourth most snaps in the NFL. He had over 1,400 yards from scrimmage. He had, 12, 13 touchdowns and average 4 yards a carry, and he's played in 7 playoff games. So, you know, Devin Singletary did as well as he could do with a career high in catches and yards, but he's never even gained 900 yards. And Mixon's a good receiver, too, 3 touchdown catches. So I think that's a really good deal. I never thought they were going to get Saquon Barkley because that just wasn't Nick Casario's style. I'm just so glad they got Danielle Hunter. And then Nico Autry, and let me tell you, Nashville, I heard so many great things about Azeez Al-Shaair.
Mm-hmm.
1 year, Rand Cawthorn, who the GM, last year was his first year, had been with D'Amico Ryans every year that Al-Shaair was there. And he brought him to Tennessee on a 1-year contract. He played really well, most snaps, most tackles, voted captain right off the bat. Even though it was his first year, they love his personality, his leadership, and they wanted him back bad. But he wanted to come play for D'Amico again, and they gave him a 3-year contract. So him and D'Amico Autry, who may be one of the most underrated defensive linemen I've ever seen, to get him after 11.5 sacks, he played the 6 most snaps on that team, and having him come in here with Azeez Al-Shaair to help bolster the defense with Danielle Hunter, maybe Jeff Okuda. Those 7 defensive players have been agreed on. I don't know if they're signed yet. And they're going to need them with all those quarterbacks they're playing against, but Texans are getting all kind of praise around the NFL.
Yep, they certainly are. And one thing about Joe Mixon, I got to tell you, I've never met him before, never spent time with him. Mm-hmm. I was really impressed with the guy.
Yep.
He's a 3-year captain for the Cincinnati mm-hmm. Bengals. He's all business, very gracious with me and Johnny, very affable.
Don't shake his hand or you're going to have broken fingers.
Yeah, I almost didn't get mine back.
Yeah, you're going to have broken fingers.
He is intense in the best possible way on the field. He's going to catch the ball a lot. He's going to run violently. He is going to be a big plus for this team. And the deal, reportedly, $13 million in guarantees. That's not much, really, relatively. I think they want to lock him up for a while. They don't want to be doing this every year. So I'm fine with it. I like that. John, how do you think he fits in? I think he does fit into the offense because of what they were running in Cincinnati. But this is going to be a smooth transition for him as opposed to somebody who wasn't used to playing in this kind of system.
I think if they didn't think that he could play in the zone scheme, which Damian Pierce has struggled with, they wouldn't have made the deal. getting him for a seventh-round pick was a good deal because if the Bengals had cut him, which they were going to do because they didn't want to give him a new contract. It was last year of his contract. So they were going to cut him. Well, what if the Cowboys or another team had gotten involved? Maybe Caserio would have had to pay more than he wanted, but taking that contract and then redoing it, they've showed some tremendous faith in Joe Mixon, who will play at 28 next year. And I guarantee you Bobby Slowick signed off on that because they had him watching all kind of tape. And Mixon got to see last year at Riverfront at Paul Brown Stadium exactly what the Texans had going on because they beat Burrow and the Bengals up there for one of their best victories. So I'm not surprised he's excited to come here, as are all these players. And I can't wait to see what Nick does now because I told everybody for every mock draft, I'm going with an edge rusher or a defensive tackle, even if they keep John Grenard, which I don't think they ever were. And right now, I'm thinking defensive tackle, even though they have Settle, and they have Autry, and they have Heinisch and Khalil Davis back. But it's strange that you improve defensively and your run defense goes from 32 to 6, and three of your guys are gone.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I mean – you definitely are going to have to make some moves. But one of the moves you did make, John, was out on the edge, and that's Danielle Hunter. We haven't talked about him too much. Your thoughts about bringing in Danielle Hunter? Morton Ranch High School, went to LSU's, played his 8 years, I think it is, with the Minnesota Vikings. Danielle Hunter, bona fide pass rush stud, now added to the defense. Your thoughts about Danielle Hunter coming to Houston? Come back to Houston.
He hasn't been used up. Because he miss a season? He had a surgery on his neck. I think he missed some more time. So it's not like he was taking a beating. And in his last four seasons, he's averaged 12.4 sacks a season and 16.5 last year. And the thought of him playing opposite Will Anderson Jr. with Danico Autry inside is pretty spectacular. And it still wouldn't surprise me at all if they don't use that first-round pick on a defensive lineman or a cornerback. Corner seems to be somewhere. Steven Nelson's still out there. Don't know if they're going to re-sign him or not, but they wouldn't surprise me. It's a good draft for cornerbacks. I thought they'd take a lineman and a corner in the first two rounds. And they still might because Danico and Matt Burton know they got to continue to fortify the defense against a schedule with five division winners and 11 games against teams that had winning records. And I thought it was pretty cool that Hunter was at the Cleveland game because that was the most butts in the seats and the loudest the stadium was last year, and he was there. And I'm wondering, of course, he got a great contract. It's a two-year contract. Most guys want longer. So I'm wondering if he may have told his agent, man, I want to be part of that. And he got a lot of money. It's a good deal for him. Good deal for the Texans, but how anybody could not get excited about that, I don't know. Randy Mueller, who's general manager of Seattle and New Orleans, I mean, Miami. What was he, Miami and New Orleans or Miami's?
Miami, New
Orleans. Three general managers.
Yep.
And Randy writes for The Athletic, and his list of 150 free agents, he had Danielle Hunter number one.
Not bad. That's a good spot to be in.
Saying number one's pretty good.
And the Texans got him. Yeah, the season that he missed a huge chunk of was 2021. Played in seven games in that one, but fully healthy in 22 and 23. And yeah, he's up there in age, but he's still got all the ability. And he's a Houstonian. Mm-hmm. We will have him on the show tomorrow along with Joe Mixon. General, what about
you guys know? Hold on, Mark. Sorry. Yeah. Danico Autry, who's 33. So when he's 33, 32, 31, and 30, he averaged nine sacks, didn't have fewer than nine sacks. So as he's gotten older, he's aged very well. And the people up there liked him a lot. And you don't see a lot of guys at playing at 33 that get 11.5 sacks. But if he could just get nine again, that would be great. So I don't know what's happened to him, if it's playing time or what. But he's gotten better with age, and we've seen him torment the Texans for the Colts and for the Titans, and now he can torment them.
Well, here's my interpretation of what happened, by the way, as they acquired him, and The Athletic reported that Armstead, there was a deal that was going to be done with Malik Collins going to San Francisco for Armstead. So see if this makes sense to you guys. Now, I could ask Nick, but I don't talk to Nick during free agency.
Which is best.
Yes, it's best. Or the draft. Mm-hmm. I just say, can I get you something? Would you like anything? You know, how's it going? Good morning. Things like that. I don't say, hey, what happened with that deal?
Yeah, it's probably best you don't do that. Do you ask him if he's good on time?
Oh, good on time.
Like, well, Sean does?
No, we don't do that because we get pretty much, we know what we're going to get every, we get him every week, right? Yeah. So we know pretty much what
We know the time.
I'm not going to ask that because I'm not going to go over that
time. I love it when Sean does that.
And I'm not going to go under and ask because what if he says, yeah, I got to go?
I love it when Sean said, when he asks him that, because I think that's just
that's very
nice
polite for them. They get him like once a month or whatever, and they're going into overtime, and, and it's okay. As long as they talk wrestling, I think Nick's okay with it. But, General, what about this? So maybe they did have a deal. Let's just say that they had a deal for Armstead with Collins. But then they get Hunter. Armstead wanted they wanted him to take a pay cut, right? That was also reported.
Correct.
They wanted him to take
a
pay cut.
Yes.
He didn't want to do it. So they were going to have to pay Armstead his full salary in that deal, right? It's not going to get acquired here, then take a pay cut. It's not going to happen.
Right.
So as soon as they got Hunter, that's a lot of money on the line.
Right.
So go ahead and cut him. We'll make this deal, and we'll try to sign him if that's indeed what their plan was. But he ends up in Jacksonville. Your thoughts, John?
Well, first of all, you'd rather have Hunter over Armstead. Armstead's had a surgery on his knee, and that's because he missed the last five or six games, but he played in the playoffs, had six tackles and a sack in the Super Bowl. And you'd rather have your outside guy. I'm stunned that Malik Collins was traded because he never missed a start, coming off five sack season for a seven. And And I wrote this for HoustonTexans.com last week. Even if I disagree with something that Caserio and Ryan's do, I trust them enough after watching them last season to believe that the move they're making has a good chance to succeed, even though not knowing why they did it. And I can't wait till we get Nick so we can ask him about the Armstead possibility, because you know D'Amico wanted Armstead. But there's no question you'd rather have Danielle Hunter, who's a premier pass rusher. Jonathan Gennard had one really good year as a pass rusher. Danielle Hunter's been to four Pro Bowls. He's had multiples as a pass rusher, just like Joe Mixon having 4,000-yard seasons. Singletary, none. Cam Johnston left. They replaced him with a punter with two Super Bowl rings who's really good in 5 years younger. So they've done a good job of countering the move. They could have re-signed anybody if they'd wanted to, but they put a budget on them, and they may go over a little bit, but they're not going to deviate from their plan. And if they have somebody ready to go to replace them. And I think Mixon's an upgrade over Singletary, and Townsend, even though Cam Johnston was really good, that's kind of a wash. But Hunter is a better pass rusher than Jonathan Gennard. Gennard is better against the run. That's something Hunter will have to work hard on. But I like all the moves they've made. And the one I'm really interested to watch this year, and I know y'all will feel this way, is Jeff Okudah. To go from the third overall pick, two injury-plagued seasons, then he started his third season, got traded to Atlanta, started nine games, and he's available. You talk about a guy having a lot of incentive, motivation to prove that he can still do it, that could turn out to be a great move.
You know, if Nick had just gone on and gotten Mac Jones as a backup quarterback, we would have the number three overall pick for the last four drafts.
Oh,
how about that? Because Okudah was 2020, Mac Jones 2021, Sting, and then Will. We'd have had the number three overall pick.
You'd be the only person in the world that would think of that.
I don't know why I thought of that. But Mac Jones
it's
is going
a great
to Jacksonville.
Stat, though.
General, I got a question, and it's a loaded one. And it's pretty simple to ask, but I think it might be more difficult to answer. What the hell is going on in Tennessee with giving Calvin Ridley, I don't know what money they gave him. They gave him stupid
million guaranteed.
What are they doing?
They got a lot. They had $90 million to spend. They're trying to get weapons around Will Levis. So they got him. They got Hop. They got Treylon Burks, who's been a disappointment. And they signed a guard. They drafted Skronsky last year, and they're going to draft, I guess, Joe Alt. So everything was about their offense, and they thought Ridley was the top receiver available. But you're taking a heck of a chance on a guy that had a good year 3 years ago, and then had injuries, depression, then gambling. And last year, you know, we saw him drop a couple of three balls against the Texans, but they're gambling that next year he's going to be closer to what he was in Atlanta. But boy, that's like the Browns people are like, and Watson hadn't had a great year since 2020. Is he ever going to get it back? And they're trying to put weapons around him, getting the backup quarterback he wants, Jameis Winston, over the fan favorite Joe Flacco. So they're hoping that he gets it back, and the Titans are hoping Ridley gets it back.
Yeah. What about Flacco, John? What did you think of that pickup? How does that work for them?
I tell you something about Flacco, and you would think this wouldn't be an issue, but it was. If they re-signed him in Cleveland, fans love him. First time Watson threw an interception, fans would be, Flacco, Flacco, or we want Joe. So they wanted him, but they didn't get him. They elected to go with Jameis Winston, who I believe has known Watson since he was in high school or college, and has vowed to go up there and do the best job he can working with him. And nobody's going to chant, we want Jameis. We want Jameis.
Yeah, because they didn't want to know what Jameis would chant back to them. John, there was a trade. It's kind of intriguing. I didn't see this until literally 2 minutes ago.
Huh?
Not the Texans.
Yeah.
Sam Howell, Washington Commanders quarterback, going to Seattle.
Yeah.
Interesting. Obviously, it opens up, you know, Washington taking the number two pick. We knew they were going to take a quarterback. But this is interesting news. I thought Sam Howell and Geno Smith together, how long do you think Geno's got a short leash? How do you think that goes in Seattle with Sam Howell going to Seattle?
Didn't Drew Lock get traded in that deal?
Yeah, he got traded to the Giants.
He's the back. He's at the Giants. I don't know who Washington's other quarterback is, but they're going to take the quarterback that the Bears don't. They'll know whether it's May or Daniels. Sam Howell had a chance to improve on a rookie year that was up and down, but he flashed enough to make Ron Rivera think he could be the guy. Last year he was sacked too much. He was too inconsistent. But Pete Carroll loved Geno Smith. Pete Carroll's fired. So now you got Mike McDonald, defensive coach. So the key is you don't turn it over, but Howell was a turnover machine. So I don't know how that one fits really, but it's a better chance for him in Seattle than it would have been in Washington.
You know, it's interesting with the Commanders. It's funny. NFL memes is torching them, saying they have the most cap space and they're working hard to assemble the worst team in NFL history. They're just joking about it. If they played this weekend, Marcus Mariota would be their starter. Austin Eckler's in the backfield. Zach Ertz at tight end. But a lot of these guys,
Bobby Wagner too from the Seahawks.
They're good names, but are these guys prime of their career? I don't think so.
Nah, probably not.
Yeah, General, we're enjoying reading your stuff at HoustonTexans.com on HoustonTexans.com. We appreciate the visit as always. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. And when they announce all of the moves that were made, I will have a story going up immediately. Thank you guys very much. Congratulations on the new uniforms. I really like the way they're designed and the designs are.
Spectacular. What happened? Did he just drop the mic or something?
He did. He just dropped.
Oh, he hung up. He hung up. Okay. That's pretty good.
I'm assuming that was a drop the mic moment, I guess.
He said spectacular earlier. He leaked the information that the uniforms are spectacular. Okay, that's it.
I mean, that's a good adjective to have.
Week of the draft. Stay tuned. More information on that coming. All right, coming up, AFC South free agency. Who won? Let's just say it was over today. Yes.
Okay.
Hot take time.
Oh,
it's
boy.
Over today. It's not over. But if it was, who won and who needs what still in the division, among other things that are coming up here on Texans Radio. So tonight on Area 45, it's B. Scott and Patrick Creighton as Bijani worked the afternoon program with Clint because Ron is out. See, I'm keeping track of all the Sports Radio 610 brethren and what they're up to, Johnny. All their schedules.
I forgot it was spring break this week.
Oh, yeah, it's very much spring break.
Yeah, you can feel it over at the stadium.
Stuff. Yeah.
You can feel it over at the stadium.
Yeah, you can feel it.
Because of rodeo. Yeah. You've got all, oh. Like, why are all these people, why are all these kids out of school? Parents, what are you doing? Get your kid. Oh, yeah, it's spring break. So.
It's weird because we're trying to leave today to go do something.
Oh, my gosh.
And even leaving was difficult during the day. So give yourself extra time when you go to the rodeo. I'm doing the calf scramble pep talk. They have an official name for it. And darn it, I forgot what it is.
But you I like get to calf talk, scramble pep talk. I
you
like
get
that.
To talk to the kids
oh,
before
really?
They scramble for the calves.
Nice.
Is it calves or calves?
Okay. So are you going to channel Al Pacino any given Sunday?
The inches are everywhere.
Right. Are you going to channel
I think
that?
If you look next to you, you're going to find a guy who wants to rope in that calf with you.
Or Kurt Russell from Miracle.
Great moments are born from tackling
yes.
a baby cow. Yes. You know what I did last time?
And the Russians will not beat your baby cow. Okay.
Their time is over. Our time is now. We are going to rope them and drag them into the center and get that scholarship or whatever happens. But you know what I do say to them, because this is true. You are on the same field where Tom Brady won two Super Bowls, where Mick Jagger,
yeah.
actually Mick Jagger's not going to work as a reference for these kids, where Beyonce performed,
yeah,
where
yeah,
Taylor
yeah.
Swift was just a few months ago.
Yes.
She was on the same surface. On a big stage with a lot of technology. But she was basically on the same surface you will be tonight.
That's right.
I think that'll work.
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
Works for me when I'm in that building.
Where J.J. Watt had 20-plus sacks.
Yes.
Yeah, that would all
well,
these
kids,
work.
Like, even Watt, it's getting to be a little, you know, 2019
God,
was
the kids
Watt.
Know
all right,
Watt.
So 2020, they do, of course they know him. But 2020 was Watt's last season with the Texans.
Yeah, yeah.
We've played three seasons since then. If you're, what, how old are these kids in the calf scramble? 14, 15? They know, but.
Yeah. What did we have call in the other night and was like, I was born in 2002. I was like,
yeah, I almost hung up on him.
God.
I almost hung up
Come
on
him.
Come on. That was not working for me.
You want to make old guys mad? Tell them, yeah. Oh, yeah, man. I used to watch you when I was a kid.
Oh, I get that a lot, though. I get. My dad listens
yeah, my
to you
dad
all
listens
the time.
To you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That happens
there,
a lot.
That's,
I would
but
be,
you know,
I
that's
would,
great. That's fine. Whoever
I
listens.
Always thought I didn't want to stay in teaching. I didn't want to stay teaching long, but I thought if I ever stay in teaching, I want to stay long enough that I'm coaching or that I'm teaching and coaching the kids of the students that I have. Like, no, I that's
oh,
too much.
Oh, that's wonderful, but I know
I
what
would,
you mean.
I would not do that.
I know what you mean.
Wouldn't want to do that.
We're going to be at Momentum BMW on Tuesday night with N.D. Kalu on the Southwest Freeway.
Can't wait to talk to him about all these D-line signings. That's good.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
His perspective on this stuff and everything else,
yep.
it's going to be great. N.D. Kalu, Rice alum, 12-year NFL veteran with us Tuesday, Southwest Freeway, Momentum BMW. We will give away Texans tickets among many other things. Let's have a party. I know a lot of the old gang that came to the Tuesday shows during the season. They're going to be out there, so it's going to be a lot of fun because we were in the Woodlands last year. That was a little more difficult to get to for some of the people, for some of the loopers. For them, that's like going to the outer rings of Saturn.
Yeah.
Anyway, out there. Before we get to the AFC South breakdown here, Johnny, Tim Settle signs with the Texans. Buffalo Bill, he's not a starter, but he's a rotational player.
Right.
He can spot start for you. And he's a fairly large human being at 6'3", 313, and durable, too. He plays.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, he plays a lot of games. And I mean, that's what you want from that particular position, to know. And I don't know how much last year played into it. Those guys get the hell beat out of them. But Rank and Malik got banged up last year, and they were missed. Although I thought Khalil Davis and Kurt Heinrich played very, very well. But for everybody to kind of fit in their right role, I feel like when Khalil and Kirk kind of come in the game, they come in with that, you know, kind of second or third series, and they got juice, and they're flying upfield,
yeah,
and they're really a good fit together. So I don't know how you start, but you got Fatu Kasi, now you got Settle. I just think it's going to be kind of a rotation.
Tell me something. They play this weekend. They're playing, give me an opponent here. They're playing the Jags.
Okay.
They're playing the Jags this weekend. Who's starting on the D-line?
I think it's Fatu Kasi and probably Khalil.
Really?
Yeah.
He's going to rise. He's got a ceiling.
We
have not seen yet.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard because you don't exactly know how Settle's going to fit. Like, I can envision Fatikasi. Like, I know what I'm pretty sure I know what his role is going to be. Settle's interesting because he's 313 pounds, but I remember seeing him in college, like, pretty agile guy mm-hmm. for a guy his size. I think he moves all right, but never been a starter. Like, you just look at his play count. Like, he'll play 1 week. You know, he'll play 60% of the plays. Next week, he'll play 20% of the plays. And it can be all over the place. But I think he's a rotational guy. What, as we talked through last night, the whole Armstead, Malik Collins thing, the trade that was going to be and then turn out to be, and now Armstead goes to the Jaguars, 3 years, $51 million. I'm glad the Texans didn't do that deal. Mm-hmm. I am really glad. That would have been a lot of money tied up in Armstead, maybe kept you from doing some other things. So you bring in Settle, and you still got your eyes on the draft and finding another defensive interior player. But Settle's 313. Khalil's 310. You're starting to add a little bit of size. Fatukasi's 320. So you got a little bit of that. So I think you can feel good about that. So hopefully you're opening yourself up with an addition like Settle, who could play either the nose or the three. And it allows you to look at the draft and go, okay, we're sitting at 23. Does a defensive tackle fall into our lap? Is there another defensive tackle we're not thinking about that's a free agent or maybe a trade, something along those lines?
More likely to happen. Defensive tackle, corner, I'll give you both of those in a group mm-hmm. or the field or any other position.
At 23?
Yes. At this point, it appears it has to be one of those two.
It appears it would be that way. Listening to John and Landry today a little bit as I was driving around getting to the event, and I was listening to what they had to say on the Odyssey app, and I'm not going to say they snowed me or they kind of brought me over to their side, but I've been thinking this whole time it's going to be defense. But then they went Autry, then they went Daniil, Azeez, Settle, Fatukasi. They put a lot of free agent assets over on that side of the ball.
Yeah.
So it got me thinking, like, this is a stacked receiver class. You're going to get a top 15 talent if you want it at number 23.
Ooh.
So, okay, you start thinking of a wide receiver at that point. But I think the part of me was also thinking, okay, well, you're going to get Armstead. You had Armstead in that mix, like, good Lord. Now you've got a ton invested in there. Now you definitely will look at corner or wide receiver. I think it is, I said it the other night, I continue to say it, I think it's interior defensive line, corner, wide receiver, those three. I think those are going to be three of your first, second, third round picks.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's going to be in whatever order. Now, I feel like defensive tackle, best value, first round. I feel like corner, it's kind of late first, early mid second. And I think wide receiver is all the way through the draft.
Trade down, get another second rounder, and get a wide receiver with him, with that pick.
Okay. Oh, so I'll throw this at you. I'm not looking at the draft value chart, so I don't all know. Right. So we're doing a draft show,
yeah.
Draft party, wherever it is, and we get near 23. I'm going to pick Texans trade out of the first round into the second round, but you pick up an additional third rounder in the process. So now you're picking 34, 59, 72, 86, or whatever it is. Now you got four picks in the top 83.
Wait, so I dropped down to the second round.
So you dropped.
And just got a three for doing that?
I don't know. I'm just.
No, I want more than that.
Okay, well, you get a three and
because
a five.
Somebody if somebody moved up from round two to pick number 23,
yeah.
They got to give me a lot more than a third rounder.
So you're getting a three and a five.
How about a two and a five?
Okay,
two
and a five. So now you've got.
So now I got three twos.
So now you got three twos.
Three twos, you could talk me into it. It's going to put a little buzzkill into the draft party that night.
Right.
What are they doing? You know, could you imagine?
But if you end up with three twos,
people
you got an opportunity.
For pick 23, which, what time does pick 23 arrive? Draft starts at 7:15, probably 9:15, something like that.
People would stick around, I'd hope.
Drive home safely, everyone. We traded out. But you'd have to wait it out. Look, we'll be on the air regardless.
How many
they
fans,
might come
though,
back into the first round at that
right,
point.
Right. You have to be patient with that because that could happen.
Yeah.
How many fans do you think would go kind of, I think there would be years where the fans would be like, dang it, what are they doing? I would think It's my hunch.
Have faith in Nick.
That they have faith in there. Okay, we moved out. Okay, look, draft party was fun when you come to a player. Well, but, man, we got three number twos looking at, you know, instead of having one, we got three number twos.
Yeah.
Pick 34, pick 49, and pick 59 or whatever the case might be.
It'd be all right if there were names on the board that were not exactly marquee-busting names, right? But if there was a really cool player right there, like a hot wide receiver.
Like Xavier Worthy.
Okay, Xavier Worthy, the guy who won the 40 at the combine.
Mm-hmm.
40-time record. He's sitting there at 23, and they don't take him, and they move out of the first round. That look, I'm not saying it's the wrong decision.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about public opinion at the draft party is not going to be high because you have possibility of adult beverages being consumed, and people want the payoff. They want the release of having a player selected by the Houston Texans.
I know.
And they're not going to get it that night. Look,
on Friday, all of a sudden you get this smorgasbord of three players in the second round.
Well, we love it because we're on the air the whole time. It's like, let's party on Friday.
I think more fans,
they're knowledgeable.
They're knowledgeable enough to know, okay, we trust what Nick's doing in the draft. Look what he's done in the draft. Look at what we picked up. We'll be okay.
It was such a double dopamine hit. It was more than that.
Well, that's
it
the other thing,
euphoria.
Too. How are you going to match that?
You'll never match that. Well, I don't want to say never, but I don't want to have to match that.
Yeah. I mean, as long as you and I are doing this, hopefully there is never a night like that. Yeah.
Here we are picking second again. No, we don't want to see that.
There's nothing will ever match that. Nothing.
It's hard to imagine anything matching that. That was the best draft night ever. We had a lot of best evers.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Sean, and he kind of walked it back about the NFL honors being the best night ever, but that was a fantastic night.
Yep.
We've had a lot of football euphoria
in
the last 12 months. The draft, NFL honors, never mind the games themselves.
Right. Yeah.
So,
but then you add Danielle Hunter, Joe Mixon, Danielle Gautry, Aziz.
So Monday was a little, and then Tuesday was, wow, you got Danielle Hunter, who we met, and I cannot say enough about him. About Joe Mixon meeting those young men today. Those young men. I sound like I'm an elder statesman now.
Joe Mixon's what? 27?
I think he's
27. 27. I think that's the number.
Okay. All
he's 27.
Mm-hmm.
My son's 24.
Yeah.
Like I'm trying to compute that. My son's 24. Oh, boy. A little bit of news NFL-wise. Okay. We don't play either one of these teams this year.
Give it to me.
Former Buccaneers linebacker Devin White.
Ooh.
Signing with the Philadelphia Eagles. 1 year, $7.5 million deal.
Look at them making moves.
Wow.
Look at them trying to get back there.
Yeah. Eagles have made some moves for sure. So it'll be interesting. I can't remember who said this, but I think it makes sense. Howie Roseman is saying to Nick Sirianni, I'm giving you the ingredients, bro.
Yeah.
Go cook me the cake.
Yeah.
Bake me the cake right now.
I am buying the groceries.
I've got it done.
Parcells term.
Yeah.
But the meal has not been to my satisfaction.
That's right. The meal needs to be the meal needs to be done better than last year. So
it just shows you though, because you go to the Super Bowl, lose, win or lose. And then followed up with a first round exit, and especially the way they melted down at the end of the regular season. If it was just sort of they were 2-2 and kind of slogging along and somehow got in and lost, you'd say, all right, bad year, but okay.
Yeah,
but they were riding high. Although, in their case, a lot of the national pundits had it right.
Right.
Something's missing with them.
Yeah, something was wrong.
When they were winning,
they were broken. Missing. I said that the Chiefs were broke. I said the Eagles were broken. I thought the Chiefs were on that way.
The Chiefs were losing games. The Eagles weren't early.
Right.
But they were still not what a lot of people thought they should be. And they were right, as it turned out, because they melted down. All right, let's get to this. I promised the AFC South report card, for lack of a better way of putting it. Let's cram that into the next segment. Tomorrow night, Joe Mixon and Danielle Hunter, both on the show. Exclusive interviews. Going to be fun. It's Texans All Access. Oh, yes, it is. And it's great to have you along. Area 45. Jeez, I almost said it wrong.
Area 51.
It's Area 45 is coming up after we're done.
Somebody would have come up with Area 51 for Will Anderson. We didn't have the Terminator.
Yeah. I think he likes the Terminator.
Yeah, I think so too.
And I've used it a few times.
I would.
Why not?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, how can you not like that?
And now you got 51 and 55.
Mm-hmm.
You got Danielle Hunter wearing 55.
You mentioned the Titans signing Ridley.
Yeah.
And somebody tweeted, I don't know if it was memes or maybe a local media member, and I apologize because you know, we all read a lot of X posts. You know, Elon, you suck for renaming Twitter. I don't mind you buying it.
Yeah.
Great. But don't rename it.
Right.
You already had a brand, and you can bend that brand. X is so, now the letter X, that belongs to me. I hate that. And we call it a post. Oh, how unique. It was a tweet. It was its own verb. And a noun. To tweet, a tweet. It was awesome the way it was. Why do you change it? I'm buying Google and changing the name to search engine.
If you buy something and make it worse, that's not good.
Yeah. Now, the platform itself, whatever. I don't want to get into a discussion like that. But anyway, I read a lot of X posts.
Yes.
Which is even hard to say. And I'm a professional announcer. X
posts. Post on X.
X posts. Say it five times fast, accurately.
I'm going to say something bad.
But I read a lot of that. And somebody tweeted, hey, or X'd. Somebody said, so the Titans didn't want to pay A.J. Brown. What was it, like 100? What did he get from the Eagles?
100 million. Do you think it was 4 years for 100?
Whatever it was. But you're paying Ridley 90 plus?
Right.
And you don't want to pay A.J. Brown, 20, 30 more would be fine. It's A.J. freaking Brown.
Yeah.
But you're going to pay Ridley.
Four-year, $100 million extension.
I know it was 2 years ago or a draft. Yeah, 2 years ago now.
2 years ago, draft party.
At the draft.
Vrabel lost his mind. The one that I saw had that exact tweet, and then above it, it had a gif of Vrabel.
Losing his mind.
Just taking his head, just ducking his head.
Yeah.
Just
why?
Like, why? 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 I mean, that was probably
– we talked about this, right? They were showing the Titans game with who? The Ravens? The Titans game with
Dolphins? Dolphins, maybe?
No. It was from 2021.
Oh, 21.
I think
Bills,
I told you
about Bills.
Titans-Bills.
Yeah, Titans-Bills.
The
night.
Number one seed that year.
Yep.
They were that good. And then 2 years later, bam.
I'm telling you, the A.J. Brown deal was, if it wasn't the beginning of the end, it was the loudest door slam.
I'm surprised Robinson did that because he made a lot of other moves that I thought were pretty good. But anyway, they get Ridley. They lose their captain, Azeez Alshire.
Yep.
They lose Didico Autry in
Where'd
the
those
division.
Guys go? Where'd those guys go?
Yeah, here.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Like Jeffrey Simmons says, no, you can't tell. Don't tell me that the Texans got Nico. Yeah. Talking about Danico Autry.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We got him. We got him right here,
when
Jeff.
Your players are tweeting that. Look, players love each other, and they don't want to see the guy go, even if it's for a better situation for him, and maybe it's right for the team. So I get that. But, yeah, Simmons tweeting that was notable. And going into the division, I love that they get captain Azeez Alshire from the Titans. They get captain Joe Mixon from the Bengals. I love that.
Yeah.
But the Colts, Johnny, their approach seems to be more, let's re-sign our own guys. By and large.
Yeah. They re-signed Pittman, gave Pittman big money.
Grover Stewart,
they kept him in the fold. I thought that was good for them. Those are obviously two cornerstone players as the Colts look at it. And then they signed Joe Flacco. And in the words of one of the Indianapolis writers that I have on Twitter said, the best outside the building signing was a player you hope you never need in Joe Flacco. But
is that good, though?
Anthony Richardson has not played a complete season of football.
Ever?
Not that I know of.
Wow.
He's not. I mean, his senior year at Gainesville Eastside was cut short. He had 3 years at Florida. Every single one of them was cut short due to injury, or he missed some because of injury. And this last year was cut short, well short, because of an injury. Now, at some point, does that change? Who knows? Maybe he finally got the shoulder right. That was a problem all the way dating back to his high school days at Gainesville Eastside. So you're going to need Joe Flacco at some point. That's the unfortunate aspect of it.
Would you rather have Flacco or Minshew if you're the Colts? I mean, I'd rather
Flacco.
You know what? Go with the opponent standpoint. From the opponent standpoint, I think I'd rather have them start Flacco. I think Flacco, the clock has to strike midnight at some point.
Maybe.
I know it did relative to the season in the playoff game here. But can he really kind of duplicate what he did? They're not as good as Cleveland is top to bottom on the roster, right?
Correct. Yeah, correct.
And he looked good. I don't know. But they can run the ball, and that's really going to help them.
Well, they're getting Nick Chubb. The Colts or the Browns? They both can.
The Colts can run
the Browns get Nick Chubb back. The Colts obviously have Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah.
But I was glad to see that A.J. Dillon didn't end up with the Colts. A.J. Dillon's ended up going back to the Green Bay Packers because you would get to handle one stud running back, Jonathan Taylor. He goes out of the game. It'd be like if they had Zach Moss again.
Yeah, and then Quadzilla comes
in. And then Quadzilla comes in, you're like, ah, you got to tackle this guy again. But yeah. Dillon ends up going to Green Bay. So, I mean, when you look at the division.
Who did best of the other three? Colts? Just getting their own guys
I guess
back.
Just getting their own guys. Like, the Jaguars, you know, getting Armstead, good move. Now, there were some rumblings about Brandon Ayuk wanting a trade to Jacksonville, which is kind of interesting.
Who does that?
Yeah. But, again, it came with, well, yeah, I'll love Jacksonville if they gave me $25 million a year, and that's what they're looking at.
Yeah.
So, I look at the Jags, and I think, okay, you know, I don't know. The Jags... fans, followers, media felt like, it just felt like, outside looking in, we're going to get Ridley back, just chill out, we're going to get him back, and all of a sudden it was like, oh no. Now, here's what I think it does, and this scares me a little bit. It puts receiver at number 15. I think they're 15th in the draft, maybe 17th. It puts receiver in play for them, and that does bother me.
For the Jags.
Bit. Yeah, for the Jags.
Yeah.
Because they're going to get a good young receiver. Like,
very often they make the move that you want them to make. In other words, not drafting Lamar Jackson.
That's correct. Taven Bryan.
That. All right, that's it for the show. Chris Santiago, great job producing as always. Coming up, Area 45. It's B. Scott and Patrick Creighton tonight. This show will be available on podcast soon enough on HoustonTexans.com and all the platforms. Have a great night. Tomorrow, it's Joe Mixon and our good buddy, Danielle Hunter, our new friend, on the program. Have a great night. Go, Texans.